Welcome to episode 91, 10 must-dos to win listings. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. This week, I want to talk to you about what you need to do when you get out on a listing appointment to make that win. Often we get listing appointments that we leave feeling confident and we find out we didn't get it. I want to talk about the whys and hows, 10 things you can do right away, putting it into your listing appointments to make sure you get those listings. And the other person that you're there competing with, the other competing agent, does not win over you. So let's break it down right here, right now on the podcast. First off, you want to ask how they found you. This is a really important one because we want to find out, are we on a referral relationship? Obviously, if we know we're on a different relationship, we don't have to ask this question, but are we on what type of relationship? Because it's going to be important because, number one, we can make sure we pay attention to getting back to other people who are referring us, but also kind of knowing, are we on a friend relationship or do we have a lot of work to do ahead of us? That's a good one to start off with. Another thing, ask if they've had an appraisal or a market valuation. Why are we doing this? We don't really want to ask them directly if they have another agent out, but often by asking if they've had a market valuation, they're going to say, yeah, I had a few other agents tell me. Or if they had a recent appraisal, you can find out, are they currently in the process of thinking of refining? Because right now, for the year 2020 all the way through 2021, it'd be a great time to talk about people stop thinking about the refi and think about the rebuy. What I mean by that is if you're in the right situation right now, instead of refinancing your house, you can sell your home, take out the equity, put it into a new home with that new lower rate, possibly drop PMI and be in a better place than you were. So know how to talk about the refi versus rebuy, which the appraisal can bring up, or learn that the person actually already has an agent through finding out about the market valuation. I always recommend going last on listing appointments because it's easiest if everyone else has already broken the ice, especially with those sellers that think that their property is worth drastically more than it is. If you're not the first one to break the news to them about it, it's easier. It's also easier to get the commitment because you're the last one. When you say you're ready to commit tonight, they don't say, well, I still have a few people to meet with. They're done. They're ready to go. Yes, you're going to lose a few from the front end, but that's just real estate in general. And people that are impatient to choosing who their agent is usually aren't always the best people to work with anyway. So by going last, we're going to prevent taking that immediate jump. We're also going to reduce the need for a commission restructuring where we have to lower our percentage because the person is not happy with us. So going last can be really important. Next, let's look to create the friendship while we're on the appointment. The first thing we want to do when we're walking around the house with them, we're walking and touring, we're looking around the house for things that we identify with. Do they have pets? Do they canoe? Do they go to certain schools? Do they attend or live in certain towns? Anything we can do to take a little bit of a binding material and bind that relationship and try to get into that friend zone. Because at first, you're just some stranger that they don't know about. They don't know what you do. They don't know anything about you. So they really want to start to learn about you. And this is going to be a part of the process where you're walking around the house, you're talking with them, and you're building a relationship. You're complimenting their house. And one of the things you're trying to uncover during this part of the process is, what are their favorite parts of the house? Because what sold them on the house, first off, is probably going to sell the next buyer on the house. But second off, is it's going to be deeply meaningful thing to them. So you want to make sure that you pay attention to that deep, meaningful thing for them. That way there you're on the same level as them and they're going to be excited about the idea that you're going to be the one selling the house because you've been able to identify these things. Worst thing you can do is walk around telling somebody everything they can repair, fix, and everything. Now, mind you, they're going to be asking you these questions. What can I do? This and that. Put off the question and say, I'd rather look through everything than go back, check out my computer and figure out if it needs any work, because I'd like to actually do the numbers based on the actual market value. Because one of the things we want to separate ourselves from is ever the idea that we, the agent, create the price. Because we do not create the price, the market creates the price. So by explaining this early in the game, we're setting ourselves up for success so that they don't think that we've done it in setting the price. They realize that the market has set the price. So setting the friendship and getting to know the house and getting to know what they think about the house is great. Learning to forward is a really important thing. Forward, family, occupation, recreation, dreams, otherwise known as FROG in some organizations and sales charts. with family, recreation, occupation, goals. So why do we talk about these things? Well, normal people love to speak about family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. So similar to creating that friendship, I'm looking for items that tie me to them, that get me to have that relationship with them where no longer am I just random guy Sean, I'm now the guy that plays football just like they do, or I'm the person who does yoga just like they do, or whatever it be. Be careful here, folks. Don't try to tether lines that aren't true. If you try to tether lines that aren't true, like you try to tell them, oh yeah, I love yoga, and the next thing you know, they start kind of poking and prodding, saying questions back, and then they realize you're a fraud, you're in worse shape than you were if you didn't have anything to do with them. You're already on the back pedal versus on the front pedal. You're in an issue because they're realizing that you're a liar versus trusting you. So be careful of that. The other thing is, don't get into one-upsmanship here. If somebody says, I have dogs, you say, oh, I also have a dog. What kind of dog do you have? So take the torch, say something quick, and hand it right back to them. Don't take that microphone over. Don't do one-upmanship. Oh, you have one dog, I have two, blah, blah, blah. Try to just say, I have dogs. Try not to get into bragging. Try to get it in about what kind of dog is their dog. What do they like to do with their dog? Why do they get their dog? Accelerate and accentuate the thing that makes them happy and stop thinking, what makes me happy? Realize it's just like when you're dating someone, they only want to talk about themselves. It's not too attractive versus asking questions and having interest in the other person is more important. So when you're about to move forward from this begin friend stage, you really want to think about how to get into a professional stage. But one thing you don't want to do is just move on because you're friends with the husband or you're friends with the wife or you're friend with both husbands or whatever. You need to be friends with everybody that's a decision maker before you're moving forward. Because as soon as you get into price, as soon as you get into professionalism, you're going to lose people unless they're your friend, because now you're back to salesperson. So we need to get to that friend zone. We need to get into that Ford. We need to get into that method of being a really good communicator with them. And then we can move into taking over that we are a professional. We can talk about professional things, including pulling marketing sheets, pulling MLS sheets, all this stuff. Kind of known back in the days as CMA, but a little more broken up in a process of steps of just releasing information. But the MLS can be a great source of data that it doesn't have to be that you said their house was at a certain price. It doesn't have to be you said that their house may or may not sell in a certain number of days. You can take the days on market averages. You can take the square footage averages. You can take the average number of homes that sell that hit the market. You can take all these and give them that information, allowing them to understand why you, the professional, is conveying the price to them from your experiences on the market. Now, if they argue it, you can always say to them in those types of situations, feel free to please provide me with any comparative homes that you have in the marketplace, because by what I'm seeing here, I'm not agreeing with the value, versus me saying, I don't agree with your value, or you me saying, in my opinion, your home is worth. And often real estate agents do. They call it an opinion of value, but it's a comparative market analysis. A broker opinion of value is a completely different thing. That is a true opinion of value. This is a comparative market analysis. If you do your job correctly as a real estate agent, there shouldn't be a ton of ambiguity to this, because we're using the comps at a local. We're not inventing the comps. We're not creating anything. So it should be pretty easy for all of us to be within reason, close to each other on the pricing. So once we're a professional, we don't want to jump right into price. We really want to work our way in. Like I said, showing them MLS sheets and everything like that, and really trying to get them to say what they want for price. And then if they say a price that's too high, talking about the average days on market, when people go too high versus too low, and working them into understanding the price that we originally wanted them to, but making them feel like they made the decision and that we didn't force them into the decision, because when people make decisions, they work a lot better. We all know from growing up, if a little kid says, I'm tying my shoes, you let them tie their shoes. If you tie the shoes for them, yes, you tied the shoes, but then the next thing you know, you get a meltdown. So letting them decide the price is really important, or at least letting them feel like they decided the price in order to get these listings. So one of the main goals always since the very beginning of the conversation is to get what they have as a perceived value. So that way there, you know what they wish to sell it for. So you know from the very beginning whether it's a realistic thing or not. And you know whether you need to work a lot of fact to them, or if their number is right, you just need to really work quickly through it all to get that signature and to land everything right there. Now, last off, let's realize it's more than about the friendship. It's more than about the professionalism. It's more than about the CMA. It's more than the materials. It's more than us. It's more than one person. It's more than one brand. What it's all about is being the full package, being the ultimate agent, being the true professional, being the person that's friendly, being the person that knows how to use tonality, being the person that knows how to market, and being willing to put your money where your mouth is as far as when you say you're going to do something for sellers, go and do it. Maximize your listings, maximize your marketing, maximize your online presence, and sellers will be throwing themselves at your feet. Guys, I hope this helps you land more listings this year. 2020 was a tough year to land listings. 2021, I don't think it's going to get any easier. But if you can use these 10 different proven methods, I guarantee tomorrow you will start closing more listing presentations and get more signatures. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to tell all your friends and family about the podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe and they do as well. Check out the Facebook group. We have a email marketing, and we also have a blog that are all great resources for the growing real estate professional in you. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.